telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
Welcome, everybody. We made it. Another week in the books. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great show for you all today. We're going to be joined by Dr. Liana Fix at 2:30. She is a fellow that focuses on Europe from the Council on Foreign Relations, which is, if you haven't heard of it before, it's basically where all of the nerds who have worked in the State Department or the UN or have focused on foreign relations in their career, academics. It's our big think tank on that stuff. It has been filled with people who have worked in both Republican and Democratic administrations who care deeply about global security. She's going to join us at 2:30. We're going to be talking about where do things stand in Ukraine, because it seems like we're getting conflicting information almost on a daily basis. At 3 o'clock, it's time for Ask Maggie, of course, where you all, the listeners, get to ask me basically anything you want, and I'm on a timer to answer your questions. Remember, you can always submit those at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. 3:30 on Fridays. It is always my very favorite segment, What's Good, Local, and Overlooked, with my colleague here at Civic Media, Terry Barr. But this afternoon, folks, let's start with what is going on right now on the Senate floor. It is looking like it is about to begin. I am watching the Senate proceedings while we are on the radio here. This is the Senate vote on the continuing resolution to avert a government shutdown. The Senate has until midnight tonight to pass the continuing resolution that was adopted by the House a few days back. If they fail to do so, the federal government will shut down next morning, tomorrow, Saturday at 12:01 a.m., Republicans in the Senate need eight Democrats to vote for the continuing resolution. At this moment in time, we know three senators, Democratic senators, that will vote for that CR. They are John Fetterman, Chuck Schumer, and Cortez Masto. We do not know if the other five are there. Presumably, Senate leader, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York would not have moved forward and permitted the vote to come to the floor of the Senate if he didn't believe there were eight Democrats to support the CR. And again, it's eight because Senator Paul Rand, a Republican, is voting against the continuing resolution. This has been a subject of much debate. We will cover it going into the next week. One of the headlines I saw today is this one: young Democrats' anger boils over as Chuck Schumer retreats on shutdown. Most notably, House of Representatives member out of New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has had some pretty strong words for Chuck Schumer. We've been discussing this a bit over the course of the week. I think a lot of Dems wanted Democrats, younger Democrats, especially wanted to see Democrats in the Senate let the government shut down, not give Republicans a single vote. This has always been an incredibly politically precarious move to make. In the past, the public has punished the party that they perceive as responsible for that shutdown. So what the right answer here is very much subject to debate. I will just say this. It is a rock in a hard place of epic proportions that Senate Democrats find themselves in. The CR is, by all reasonable good faith measures, terrible. This is the CR that includes $880 billion minimum mandatory cuts that need to be made by the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. That $880 billion in minimum mandatory cuts that the House Committee on Energy and Commerce must make will absolutely, mathematically, necessarily come from Medicaid. That means cuts to Medicaid because the House Committee on Energy and Commerce only oversees about $200 billion in non-Medicaid expenses. So even if they were hypothetically able to cut all of that $200 billion, which they will not be able to do, you would still need to get $600-plus billion in cuts out of Medicaid. That brings us, of course, to Dr. Mehmet Oz's confirmation hearings also occurring in the Senate today. If you forget who this guy is, of course, it's Dr. Oz, the shill on television, who liked to hawk all sorts of herbal remedies. That guy ran for the Pennsylvania senator against Fetterman, lost. And in the course of that campaign, remember, Dr. Oz is this guy who thinks that basically we should move, get rid of the Affordable Care Act, get rid of employer-provided insurance entirely. And what we should move to is Medicare Advantage for All. Might sound a little appealing, but what it is simply private plans cover employees. It's the entire, you'd be getting rid of Medicare as we know it. It's quite a shocking proposal in its breadth and scope. And when you consider that private insurance plans, as studied by numerous academics that are objective, that aren't hired by right or left-leaning think tanks, are now denying insurance claims at a much higher rate, that premiums have been going up. The very idea that you would propose to effectively do away with Medicare in its entirety, push everyone onto private insurance plans, and, you know, see how that all sorts out, because it's been working so well for Americans in our private insurance plans to date, that that's the solution. And, oh, by the way, all of this would be funded by a 20% payroll tax. 20%, half paid by the employer, half paid by the employee. What does this basically mean? It would be a freaking windfall for medical insurance companies. They'd make out like bandits. We'd all pay more. We'd probably get less. That's Mehmet Oz's proposal. But let's hear what I think was the most revealing exchange in his Senate confirmation hearings today. Cal, this is going to be cut four. This is his exchange with Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon. Let's take a listen.
Oh, yes or no, is since you cherish Medicaid, will you agree to oppose cuts in the Medicaid program?
I cherish Medicaid, and I've worked within the Medicaid environment quite extensively, as I highlighted, practicing at Columbia University.
That's the question, doctor. The question is, will you oppose cuts to this program you say you cherish? Time's short.
I want to make sure that the patients today and in the future have resources to protect them if they get ill. The way you protect Medicaid is by making sure that it's viable at every level, which includes having enough practitioners to afford the services, paying them enough to do what you request of them, okay, and making sure that patients are able to actually use Medicaid.
Let the record show that I asked a witness who said he cherishes this program, will you agree to oppose cuts? And he would not answer a yes or no question.
So to be clear, the guy that Donald Trump has nominated to be the director for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, he's the guy that has basically proposed to shut down Medicare as we've known it, push all of us onto private insurance, and is now completely fine with Medicaid being gutted to the tune of at least $600 billion freaking dollars per the House continuing resolution, which the Senate is beginning the debate and vote on as we speak on the radio. I just want to be clear. Every single one of you listening, Republican, Democrat, Trump fan or not, libertarian, I hate politics. All of us, without exception, right now, know someone whose quality of life is largely or substantially dependent upon Medicaid or Medicare. And the guy that Trump wants to lead this is the guy that basically is saying, yeah, let's either shut it down or cripple it. That is what we've got going on. And meanwhile, the Senate has to vote on basically a poo sandwich or a poison pill in the form of the continuing resolution. And I'm just going to make this comment about some of the younger Democrats, the seeming split amongst Democrats. We need to stop fighting amongst each other. The continuing resolution is terrible. But acting as if shutting down the federal government is some victory lap for Democrats, that that's somehow going to be some panacea, I'd like to ask you, how do you propose to get out of the government shutdown? Do you think the packages that the Republican-controlled House of Representatives will put in front of you are going to be substantially better? That's quite a gamble, because if you get nothing in a crapshoot of shutting down the federal government and you're still between the crap sandwich and the hard place in another month or 2 months, guess what you will have done, Democrats who think we let it shut down? You will simply have hurt more federal workers and more Americans. So to talk about this in the terms that people like AOC are and others calling this a betrayal is such a disservice to Democrats and the people both within the federal government and the people that are relying on things like Medicare and Medicaid, which is every single one of us knows someone today whose life is substantially impacted by Medicare and Medicaid. That is a disservice to your constituents. This ain't that simple. And to act as if it is, that our act of resistance is going to be about shutting the federal government down, we don't have the leverage to make that gambit work. So I got a message for AOC and some of them out there. Shame on you. This ain't black and white. This is a rock and a hard place, a poison pill wrapped up in a poo sandwich. I got to take a breath. We're going to reset. We're going to come back. I got a couple other few quick things to kick off our Friday because there's so much going on, y'all. We'll keep you posted as the Senate vote develops. Don't go anywhere. We're all about real breaking news and great conversation right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Oh, did I mention this? The S&P 500 down 10% since its peak. So how's that Trump administration working for your